You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Here's a distressing headline I stumbled over this morning, one that I'm highlighting here so it doesn't get lost in this week's tsunami of distressing headlines. Texas lawmakers failed to address rising pregnancy-related death rate during their legislative session. Hannah Gold, writing at Jezebel, the feminist news site, was reacting to and signal-boosting, as the kids say, an Associated Press story that, holy shit, did not bury the lead. From the Associated Press, lawmakers in Texas failed to take any significant action to address the state's skyrocketing rate of pregnancy-related deaths just months after researchers found it to be the highest, not only in the U.S., but the developed world. The pregnancy-related death rate in Texas, the numbers of pregnant women dying every year, doubled between 2010 and 2012, a study from the University of Maryland found. Now, in fairness to Texas, a state dominated by anti-woman, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, anti-trans, pro-Trump, pro-police brutality, pro-pollution, pro-climate catastrophe, elected officials who aren't themselves interested in being fair to anyone, in fairness to Texas, maternal death rates rose all over the United States during the same period, but by a percentage point or two. In Texas, maternal death rates doubled, which the authors of the report said couldn't be explained, quote, in the absence of war, natural disaster, or severe economic upheaval. Now, they meant a shooting war, of course, obviously, because, you know what, there actually is a war on in Texas, they could have mentioned, and it's not a shooting war, but it is an ongoing war against women in Texas and all other states controlled by Republican televangelists. Legislators in Texas are waging war on women's health care, defunding Planned Parenthood, blocking Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. In 2011 alone, as Molly Redden highlighted at The Guardian, the Texas state legislature, controlled by televangelists, cut $74 million from the state's $111 million family planning budget. So, yeah, there's a war on, a war with casualties and a body count. The news out of Texas is especially galling for those of us whose memories stretch all the way back to March of last year, March of 2016. That's when the Supreme Court heard arguments in Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt. Whole Women's Health is a women's clinic in Texas. John Hellerstedt is the commissioner of the Texas Department of State Health Services. Whole Women's Health was challenging Texas's TRAP regulations. TRAP, T-R-A-P, Targeted Regulation of Abortion Providers. The Supreme Court has ruled that women have a constitutional right to abortion, but states can regulate abortion services. TRAP legislation is designed to regulate abortion clinics and services out of existence by creating expensive or impossible mandates around facilities and services. Texas argued before the Supreme Court that the point of its new TRAP regulations approved in 2013 wasn't to stop women from having abortions or shut down abortion clinics, even though three-quarters of the state's clinics shut immediately after the law was passed. Oh, no, no, no. The point was to protect women's health, to protect women who were seeking abortions. Texas's TRAP law did two things. It required doctors to have admitting privileges from a nearby hospital, and it required clinics to, quote, comply with building regulations that would make them ambulatory surgical centers, as Dahlia Lithwick reported at Slate at the time. The effect of the law would have, quote, required rural women to haul ass across land masses larger than the whole state of California in order to take a pill in the presence of a doctor in a surgical theater. Texas was shredded in court. You're going to want to go look up Lithwick's piece if you want a feminist pick-me-up to start your morning, and be sure to say a prayer for the health and safety of Justices Ginsburg, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Stevens, because Texas's bullshit TRAP regulations don't make women safer. And they didn't apply, as the four feminist justices on the Supreme Court drove home that day, to other medical procedures that are far, far riskier than abortion, which is a very safe procedure, safer than carrying a pregnancy to term. Colonoscopies, for instance, have higher complication rates and higher death rates, and you can get one of those at a fucking Tasty Freeze in Texas. So to recap, Texas Republicans gutted women's health services and then crafted trap legislation that would shut abortion clinics. And they didn't do either of those things because they care about protecting women. If they did, they would have done something about their pregnancy-related death rate when they found out about that. Trap legislation isn't about protecting women. It's about controlling women. We knew that all along. And Texas got caught lying to the Supreme Court about that. But if anyone out there was confused about what trap legislation does or what legislators in Texas are up to, if anyone out there thinks Texas televangelists give one single flying fuck about the health or safety of women in Texas, this news has to open your eyes. Texas enacts one set of policies that cause the pregnancy-related death rate to skyrocket at the same time that Texas argues before the Supreme Court that another policy, their trap laws, is necessary to protect women. And shortly after the Supreme Court overturns Texas's trap law, the state learns of those skyrocketing pregnancy-related death rates and does nothing, fuck all, to protect women after learning that. If you're only half paying attention, if you hear about aggressive abortion clinic regulations and think, well, why not an ambulatory surgical center? Better safe than sorry. Look to the actions of the people pushing these regulations. If they claim they're protecting women on Monday and then do nothing about dead women on Tuesday, they were lying on Monday. I've said it before. I'll say it again. We talk about Trump all the time. Me too. I'm guilty of it too. But taking back the White House and Congress, that's not enough. We've also got to take back the state houses and the governor's mansions, too. All right. Before we get to the show, I want to say something to all my friends, listeners, and colleagues, people I've had the pleasure of working with in London. I am sorry, and we are sorry. We're sorry for your loss. We're in awe of your courage, your stoicism, your sense of humor, and the majority of Americans who didn't vote for Trump, and the overwhelming majority of Americans who disapprove of the shit job he's doing. We are sorry that our president is such a fucking asshole. You don't have an ally in the Oval Office right now. Neither do we, but you have hundreds of millions of allies here in the United States. Okay, coming up on today's show, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and in the Magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, which you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com, Dr. Brianna Helmers joins us. She got a team of researchers to hang around in bars and find out how much alcohol it takes to get a straight guy to think about maybe sleeping with another dude. If you're not already a subscriber to the Magnum, you're going to want to become a subscriber to the Magnum today, savagelovecast.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. And right now you can enjoy the Stamps service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my code, SAVAGE. That's Stamps.com, click the mic, enter SAVAGE. Today's Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Me Undies. High quality, super comfortable, good looking undies. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/SAVAGE. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers all fresh, high-quality ingredients and recipes you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Get your first three meals for free by going to blueapron.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. This is a 27-year-old bisexual woman calling from the Midwest, and I'm having some anal sex problems. I started sleeping with this guy about a year ago. At first, we were super casual and just fuck buddies. Eventually, it turned into a really strong friendship in addition to sex. A big part of our sex life is anal. He prefers it over vaginal, and I'd never had anal sex before I was with him, so there had to be a training and exploration aspect of it for me. Here's the problem. After a year of exploring and trying anal sex, with enough lube, the right position, and deep breathing, I can get myself to a point where it's comfortable and even really enjoyable for me. He has a huge cock, so it took a while to get to this point. However, whenever I get too comfortable, you know, that point where it's like all pleasure and little pain, he can't seem to get off. He says I'm just too relaxed and that my ass isn't tight enough at these moments. This kind of blows my mind because he's so big and I know for a fact my ass isn't just some gaping hole. But I'm trying to be open and find a solution. I've tried to do toggles while he's fucking my ass to make myself tighter. But then it can be uncomfortable for me. Conversely, when he gets to the point where it's ideal for him, I'm always in some pain or at least discomfort. His ideal situation is usually little to no lube and me as tight as can be. Again, this is just uncomfortable. So I guess my questions are these. One, how do we compromise? Is pain, discomfort just an aspect of anal that I have to deal with? And two, what are some other ways I could feel tighter for him while still being comfortable for me? I really care about this guy, but it's becoming a problem in our sex life. Hoping he can help.
Yeah, no, pain and discomfort are not an essential aspect of anal sex. In fact, the standard advice is if you're experiencing pain and it's uncomfortable and it persists, the pain and the discomfort, that you're doing it wrong. The way he wants to do it, with a little spit, a little as little lube as possible, yeah, no, that is not okay. If that is the only way he can get off during anal, then he's got to learn how to get off differently or get off in some other way. There is, however, a sex toy that I can recommend to you that I've never recommended to a straight girl before, and I'm a little afraid to even give its name. You can find them at oxballs.com. You can find them at Mr. S. You can find them at other sex toy merchants online, and they've got just such a terrible name. It appeals to a certain subset of the gay community, emphasis on the word sub. They're called pig holes. You're welcome. And it's like a butt plug that's hollow, that has a hole in it. And you can put it in someone. You can insert it into someone's ass. And the hollow part that goes all the way through it is the right size for some people to put their dicks in. And so if you're too loose when you're relaxed enough, you can be loose and relaxed enough to accommodate a pig hole. And then he can fuck the inside of the pig hole, which is going to provide him with a slightly tighter sensation than your hole when you're relaxed is capable of providing him with. But that does mean you have to incorporate a sex toy into the play. It does mean that the sensations he's going to derive, you know, the way his dick is going to feel fucking you, is going to be slightly different. A pig hole wrapped around his dick is going to feel different than your ass wrapped around his dick. But it might help you guys meet somewhere in the middle if you use that tool. There's also the option of Kegels during anal, where you squeeze and bear down a little bit, but not constantly, where you grip and release, grip and release, grip and release, and maybe that is an option short of getting online, ordering yourself a pig hole, and stuffing it into you. If none of that works, if a pig hole isn't acceptable to him, and the only way anal is acceptable to him is if you are in pain and you are uncomfortable, then I'm sorry. Anal isn't acceptable to you, and you should make that clear to him, that if the only way it works for him is if it's not working for you, then it doesn't work for you guys as a couple, and you're going to have to put an end to this beautiful friendship and find new partners, or you're going to have to find new and different ways to get each other off.
Hi, Dan. So I am a bi girl in the East Coast, and I really want to have a threesome. And I've been, you know, kind of going around on Craigslist, and basically my question to you is if I'm being too picky, because I read these posts and they're just ridiculously, the grammar, like the spelling, and just it's ridiculous. And I feel like I'm probably being way too picky and just haven't really found any good posts. And I, you know, I've tried FetLife and it was awful. And I don't really have any like exes or anything that I could do this with. I know that's what you usually suggest. So, I mean, yeah, I've reached out to a couple of these people on Craigslist, and in response, all I get is just pics and stats, just no other like, oh, great, like, good to hear from you, anything like that, just pics and stats. And like other posts are like 30 years old and older, which I'm not. And just kind of like I'm looking at it right now, and one of the titles is All Five Fingers. Hello, I like to finger. Can only get three fingers in my girl. She wants to find a girl that can take her all five. It's just ridiculous. I mean, maybe I'm being too judgmental, which in that case, you let me know. But I just really want to do this, and I'm having trouble finding it.
To paraphrase Gandhi, or to paraphrase a misquote of Gandhi that's popular with white people in America, be the three-way ads you want to see in the world, or you want to find on Craigslist or find on FetLife. Like tends to attract like. If what you want is someone literate and smart and can use punctuation properly and isn't just seeking pics and stats or slinging pics and stats online, then put up a nice, florid, lengthy, articulate, perfectly punctuated post of your own saying exactly what it is that you're looking for. And if what you want is a three-way and you are a single woman, there are a lot of people out there looking for you. Single women who want to have three-ways with opposite sex couples are called, everybody say it with me, unicorns, mythical beasts, really hard to find. And everybody is looking for you, and people will give you what it is that you want to make you comfortable with them as prospective partners, because you are the rare, sought after, I don't want to use the word commodity because it's so commodifying, but commodity. So say what it is that you want. Say it the way you want it said. When people write to you and they just throw some pics and stats at you, write them back and say, I need more than pics and stats. I need a sense of who you are as a person. Reassure them that you're for real. Maybe throw a picture their way so they know that you're for real and that you're not a fake or a flake. A lot of people are short and quick and abrupt with these kinds of exchanges online because there are so many people out there who have no intention of ever actually meeting and are just seeking those pics, really, and are time wasters. And they don't want to get into a long, extended literary back and forth, this exchange of letters, when it may ultimately lead nowhere. So they tend to, particularly people who have been burned that way, be rather quick and be rather short. But the only way to really get into your four real pants and at your real pussy is for them to put a little effort and elbow grease and the proper use of semicolons and colons and commas and parentheses and periods and paragraph breaks into the emails that they're sending to you. Say that. Ask for that. Make that demand. And because you, as the single woman, you as the unicorn are in demand, the people you would want to sleep with will rise to meet your demands. Hey, everybody. Guess who wants to help you celebrate queer pride? Me, undies, because everybody knows that the gays and the lesbians and the bis and the trans, we take our underpants very seriously. And you know what, straight people? So should you. MeUndies makes the ultimate feel-good underpants with free shipping right to your door, satisfaction guaranteed. Designed in LA, every pair of MeUndies is made with micromodal, a fabric 3 times softer than cotton, and I can attest to that personally because I'm wearing a pair right now. Their soft, stretchy undies come to you in an ever-changing array of colors and patterns. No matter what your style, they've got something for you. And for every pair of special edition Celebrate Undies you buy during Pride, MeUndies is going to donate $1 to the Los Angeles LGBT Center. They're cute little rainbow polka dot undies to celebrate Pride, and you need at least one pair. And as if you need another reason to try MeUndies, they're offering 20% off your first pair and a satisfaction guarantee that you will love them or your money back. Just visit our URL, MeUndies.com/Savage. Head to MeUndies today and pick up a pair of special edition Celebrate underpants. You'll not only get a discount on awesome undies, you'll be donating to a very good cause. Check out MeUndies.com/Savage today.
Hi, Dan. I am a 26-year-old hetero, flexible female living on the East Coast, and I've been dating my 24-year-old boyfriend for about 6 months, and recently he revealed to me that he had gone snooping through my old calendars and journals and had read a couple of unflattering entries about him and then entries about old boyfriends and a list of people I had slept with and lots of stuff that you really don't want to see as a significant other, but that I can't be blamed for having in my private journal. And we have since sort of worked through that as best we can, but I went snooping through his phone because it was available and I tend to be passive-aggressive that way. And I found that he had secretly recorded us having sex in his room and had saved the video. So he had had this camera in his room because his sibling and he don't get along, and she had been going in and taking his things and stealing from him, so he installed this camera, which I knew about when it was installed, and I was very careful about covering it up when I was over there, which was okay with him. But then apparently it was some sort of subscription service, and he told me it was no longer functioning, that he hadn't subscribed, the free trial had ended, it wasn't functioning. So I had since forgot about it because I thought it wasn't working, but I found out from going through his phone that it was still on and it was still recording, and that he had saved these videos, which are supposed to auto-delete after 2 weeks, but he had saved them and emailed them to himself. So I am wildly uncomfortable with having been recorded. I think it's super dangerous for him to have those kind of materials in his possession should things go wrong with us. And although I had known previously that I had been recorded and we had like watched it back together and then deleted it together, I didn't know about these new instances and I didn't know that he had saved stuff. So I would like to know what you think. I like him a lot. He's super funny. We have a really good time together. He is very sensitive and, you know, we have our ups and downs, but I love him and I'm conflicted.
You got to dump the motherfucker already. You've got to dump the motherfucker instantaneously. You are wildly uncomfortable with what he did. What he did was such a violation of your privacy, such a violation of your rights, and perhaps, depending on where you live, a crime. In some places, it is a crime to record people without their knowledge. And it blows my mind that you describe everything that's going on with you two, the snooping and then the secret taping, and you then say you're worried and you think it might be dangerous for him to have these recordings should things go wrong with us. What's this future tense shit? Things have gone wrong with you guys. Things are wrong right now. Wrong has been done. You are in wrong territory. You crossed the border into wrong a long time ago. Wrong is now. And he has wronged you. He has violated you, violated your privacy in a way that, by my reading, would be unforgivable. I think you owe it to yourself and perhaps even to him, to this man you love, to dump him. Because he shouldn't think that this is something that he can do to anyone and be forgiven for or get away with. So dump him. But you love him and you like him a lot and he's super funny and you have a good time together except when you're at home journaling and saying shitty things about him because he's made you mad and then he's snooping into that journal and reading those shitty things and pissing you off, which prompts you to do some snooping. And in your case, retroactively, your snooping justified. Sometimes snooping, based on what you find, is justified. Snooping is never okay except in hindsight. Snooping is always wrong unless you find something that retroactively justifies that snooping, as you did. You found these videotapes that need to be erased, or these videos that need to be deleted or erased or whatever the fuck, and you should insist that he delete and erase them. And you should also ask that he open his email accounts in front of you to make sure that if he's deleting them off his computer and off his hard drive, they don't also exist in his email accounts. That's the problem with video these days. It's so easily replicated and stored. Sometimes people delete videos, they don't even realize they still have copies lurking in other formats in other areas on their computers, their email accounts, or on their phones. And you should break up with him. You should DTMFA. There's no getting back from this. But you love him. Okay, well, break up with him strategically. Break up with him for 3 months. Break up with him for 6 months. Break up with him for 6 years. And then circle back, and if he is still super funny and you guys meet back up and he's older and wiser and not such a fucking selfish, manipulative, lying asshole anymore, at least where hidden cameras come in, maybe then you could take back up with the older and wiser version of him who wouldn't do this sort of thing. But the present day version of him who would do this sort of thing, you got to dump him. I'm a very important, busy man. That's what they tell me. That's what the tech-savvy at-risk youth tell me. And you know who else is important and busy? My husband. So sometimes we don't feel like schlepping to the store to get dinner on the table. And that is when we turn to Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, even me. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you will never get bored. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences, and Blue Apron has several delivery options to choose from, so you can choose the one that fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Here are a couple items on the menu coming up. Chicken and crispy rice with summer squash, currants, and lemon yogurt, and spicy Korean rice cakes with rhubarb and asparagus. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/savage. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/savage. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 25-year-old straight female who's been in a relationship now for 5 years. And an issue that I've had for quite some time is my fiance loves to play with my nipples, which is very normal, but my nipples sensitive, and they're so sensitive that it actually hurts when somebody even touches them, and it's something he really, really loves to do. It turns him on so much, but I personally can't stand it, and I haven't been able to say anything for 5 years, and how do I tell him now that we're going to be getting married that I don't want him to touch my nipples? I know that it seems easy. This is something, like I said, he really loves to do, and I want to turn him on, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on this.
This is another one of those questions where the answer is the time machine that I do not have and that does not exist. You need to go back in time 5 years ago or 4 years and 9 months ago and tell your brand new boyfriend that you don't like having your nipples touched, that they're too sensitive, and any touch is painful, and that being with you means being with someone, being with a woman, having a girlfriend whose nipples he doesn't get to touch. And if the touching of nipples is really important to him, if it's fundamental and essential to his sense of sexual fulfillment, then you're the wrong girlfriend for him because it's painful. And presumably this guy that you like well enough to want to marry doesn't want you to be in pain, doesn't want you to be grinning and bearing it every time you guys are intimate. And that is what you've been doing for five fucking years. You've been grinning and bearing it. You've been allowing him – and if he's not an asshole, he will be mortified by this. You've been allowing him to hurt you, and you've been sucking it up. And now you're in a position where you're going to have to say something. Certainly before you get married, you have to say something. You have to level with him. You have to tell him the truth. And if I were him, if I were your boyfriend and you told me this and I wasn't an asshole, and I like to think I'm not an asshole, I will feel terrible. And I will feel terrible for a while, and then some part of me is going to begin to feel a little bit angry, not maybe with you but with this, because you allowed me to do something to you for so long that was causing you pain and you never told me that. And I have to look back over the last 5 years, every time we had sex – every time we had sex, I did something that ruined it for you, and I would have stopped if I'd known to stop, but you never told me to stop. And if you didn't, you know, if you weren't attempting to communicate with him physically, if you weren't grimacing and trying to pull him away, if you were playing along and pretending you enjoyed this when you didn't so I wouldn't feel bad, oh my God, I'm going to feel terrible. So he needs to know now. So he needs to know now what's been going on. And like I said, if he's not an asshole, he's going to feel awful. And even if he isn't an asshole, there's going to be a moment where he's a little upset with you. And I think rightly so, because you kind of allowed him to do something kind of shitty that he didn't realize was shitty and that he would have stopped doing, if he's not an asshole, instantaneously the moment you spoke up, but you never spoke up. So you have to allow him to be a little bit upset with this, with what's been going on for the last 5 years, what you've allowed to go on for the last 5 years. And if nipples are hugely important to him, if tit play is hugely important to him, if not being able to play with his wife's nipples is a deal breaker for him, then you two shouldn't get married. I can't imagine that that would be the case. I hope there are other erogenous zones on your body that he enjoys playing with as much or more than he enjoys playing with your nipples. I hope there are erogenous zones on his body that you enjoy playing with, and that your entire sexual script, your entire erotic connection doesn't start and end at your tits or your nipples, and that you can find workarounds or jerkarounds or something else to take its place. And if so, then get the fuck married. But if not, then yeah, you don't want to be in a situation where you feel pressured for the rest of your life to put up with a kind of sexual stimulation that you find insanely unpleasant or painful. But I'd hate to see a loving couple, two people who really like each other, part over something that your boyfriend may regard as trivial. He's not going to regard this as trivial. I don't want to call it your deceit as trivial. This omission, this lie of omission that you've been telling him for 5 years, you've allowed him to think that this is okay. You've allowed him to think for 5 years that this will be a regular part of your sex life for the rest of your lives. You've allowed him to think perhaps that you enjoyed it, maybe even pretended to enjoy it. And now he's got to look back over the last 5 years and think, did she enjoy anything? Communicate. Tell your partners what it is that turns you on. Tell them how you like to be touched. Tell them where you like to be touched. Tell them how you don't like to be touched. Tell them where you don't like to be touched. Don't let someone touch you in a way for 5 years that pains you, and then tell them. Because that, if your partner ain't an asshole, that will pain him.
Avoid the hassle of the post office and mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international, with Stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Simply click, print, mail, and you are done. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. Plus, they'll even send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage and help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and that digital scale without long-term commitments. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Savage, and you will never have to go to the post office again. That's Stamps.com. Enter Savage. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
Hi, Dan and the Tech Savvy At-Risk Youth. I'm a 37-year-old bi lady living in New Jersey, and I'm calling with a question about kink shaming and resistance politics. So I'm very involved in my local Indivisible group, and we're putting pressure on our congressman, Chris Smith, who is notoriously anti-choice. And he's also the guy who tried to redefine rape when writing a law to restrict abortion access. He also has famously said that he does not construe homosexual rights as human rights. So as a strong believer in reproductive justice and one mom of a two moms and two kids family and a sexual assault survivor, knowing that this man represents me in Congress makes my skin crawl. So we've been organizing, producing a video series that skewers Smith, making daily coordinated calls, holding weekly meetings at his office, and holding town halls since he's too scared to hold one himself. At the most recent town hall, one of our speakers said to keep the pressure up on him to appear and suggested that we use a humorous image of Smith with a gag over his mouth and suggesting that that was why he couldn't come talk to us. Immediately, my mind went to a poster or a billboard with an image of Smith sporting a candy red locking ball gag. And I started thinking about how I could produce this particular little piece of agitprop. But now I don't know if that would be exploitative or kink shaming. I'm always a little uncomfortable with the images of Putin and Trump kissing, for example, because I think to make its joke, it has to do so at the expense of gay men. But I don't get the same feeling from the Mike Pence lookalike who wore shorty shorts to raise money for LGBTQ causes and Planned Parenthood. My wife thinks that the image of Smith with a ball gag might be misread as making fun by suggesting that he's gay. But even if that's not the case, I'm worried that I might be making my joke at the expense of the BDSM community. I'm not a part of any scene, and I don't know if any of my friends are kinky. And so I thought I'd ask you. I mean, who better to call when you have a question that relates to progressive politics and BDSM, right? So, Dan, Am I good? Or should I find another way to call out my misogynistic, anti-choice, homophobic member of Congress?
Before we get to the particulars and the very hilarious particulars of your question, let's jump back a couple of weeks to Stephen Colbert's controversial monologue where he called Donald Trump's mouth Vladimir Putin's cock holster. And people on the right, right-wingers, conservatives, professional homophobes screamed and yelled, pointed out how homophobic, terribly homophobic this joke was, and started a Fire Colbert hashtag on Twitter that trended, where they were calling for Stephen Colbert to be fired because he made a homophobic joke. Republican politicians who craft homophobic policies, oh, they shouldn't be fired, and say homophobic things, they shouldn't be fired. But Stephen Colbert, for making what they argued was a homophobic joke, should be fired. I agree with Michael Musto, columnist, who tweeted out, Mr. Stephen Colbert wasn't making fun of gays. He was making fun of Trump and Putin, and his joke deftly shamed two huge homophobes. When Stephen Colbert called Donald Trump Vladimir Putin's cock holster, yeah, it played with images of gay sex, but it tormented two notorious huge homophobes, Trump and Putin, with those images. I don't think there's anything wrong with being some dude's cock holster. Do you know who thinks there's something wrong with one guy being some other guy's cock holster? Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And so putting them in that position, creating that mental image and throwing it at them shames homophobes, shames those two homophobes by weaponizing the gay sex that they're uncomfortable with against them, by implicating them in it to a certain extent. So I did not have a problem with that joke. I did not think it was homophobic. I am on Team Colbert. That's all why I'm also not uncomfortable with those images of Putin and Trump kissing. I don't have a problem with two men kissing. I don't have a problem with Trump and Putin kissing. You know who has a problem with Trump and Putin kissing? Trump and Putin. And I have a problem with Trump and Putin. So that image is fine with me. It is a way of leveraging homophobia and the homophobic reactions against homophobes themselves. And I do not have a problem with that. All right, let's turn to your member of Congress, your misogynistic, anti-choice, homophobic member of Congress. You know what else I'm going to guess that he's phobic about? You know what else I'm going to guess? He isn't into kink. I bet that image, him wearing a ball gag, is going to make him uncomfortable. And I think you should fucking go for it. And I would hope that the kink community wouldn't have a problem with that in the same way that the gay community didn't have a problem with Stephen Colbert's joke. Michael Musto is gay. I'm gay. Eli Sanders, host of Blabbermouth, the political podcast I'm on every week, he's gay. Neither he nor I had a problem with it. And when you looked at all the tweets online under Fire Colbert, all the people screaming and yelling about how unforgivably homophobic this joke was, they weren't fucking gay people. They were straight people. If you went and looked at their Twitter bios, they were right-wing, Christian, anti-gay, gay people coming to the defense of gay people when it meant they might be able to get a high-profile, pro-gay liberal like Stephen Colbert fired. Yeah, no. And I think the same logic and the same standard applies here. This is not mixing kink shaming with resistance politics. There's nothing about that image that slams or slimes people who enjoy ball gags. It slams and slimes this member of Congress who's probably not someone who thinks that people who enjoy ball gags should be allowed to enjoy them or that they can enjoy them in a healthy way, which of course they can. So yeah, associating an anti-sex, anti-choice, homophobic, misogynist member of Congress with a sex toy enjoyed by sex-positive, kink-positive people, it doesn't shame the sex-positive, kink-positive people. It shames the sex-negative, kink-negative, misogynistic, anti-choice, homophobic member of Congress, and I say go for it.
Hi, Dan. I'm actually calling for a friend of mine. He's a 29-year-old guy in the Bay Area, straight, and he's been dating a woman for a couple of months now. And things have been going really well, but the one issue that they've been having is money issues. So they're basically making the same amount of money, but he feels that he's putting in a significant amount more financially into the relationship. And also he comes from a family background where he's really frugal. So he prefers to eat in, she wants to eat out. And what he finds is even though everything aside from the money issue seems to be going incredibly well for him, this keeps kind of haunting him. So I'm wondering if you have any advice for how he should deal with this. He's tried speaking with her and she's been receptive, but nothing has really changed. So yeah, would appreciate your advice. Thanks.
Money is one of those things that you really want to make sure you're on the same page about early in a relationship. It's almost right up there with kids and religion and sexual orientation. And something else I think should be up there but all too often isn't, sexual compatibility. It should be up there with money and kids and religion when you're thinking about dating someone. And if you're not on the same page about money or religion or kids, and if you're not roughly sexually compatible, there are no perfect matches, maybe you shouldn't be dating that person. Maybe over the long run, that thing that you want to overlook because there's so much else about this person that works for you is going to swamp what works for you about this person, and the relationship is going to fall apart. Your friend has attempted to speak to this woman to no avail. Nothing has changed. Now, maybe your friend is a little too tight-fisted and he needs this woman to loosen him up to make him not such a fucking cheapskate and get out there in the world. But if they make the same money and she always wants to go out to eat, then what your friend needs to say to her is, I'm happy to loosen up a little bit, but we have to split these bills because I can't pay and I shouldn't have to pay for everything just because I have the penis and you have the vagina. And your friend should be that blunt with her about it. They both make roughly the same money. He's willing to go out with her more than he might go out on his own. Hopefully she's willing to stay home with him a little more often than she might have otherwise or might have opted to otherwise. And there's some compromise, some balance they can strike, some meeting halfway that's, I think, possible in a case like this and perhaps not possible around sexual compatibility. And they both give a little. But they both got to start slapping their credit cards down together on those checks. And if she won't, well, then this is irreconcilable difference territory. This is deal breaker territory. This is price of admission your friend is unwilling to pay territory. Literally a price of admission he is unwilling to pay to be with her. He's not willing to pay for everything they do out together, most of which is her idea and about her desire to go out. So, yeah, your friend needs to have a conversation with his girlfriend that risks ending this relationship. It's really a relationship extinction level event kind of conversation that he needs to have with her because money, religion, kids, sexual compatibility, those are things you want to suss out early on. And if you're not on the same page about those things early on, you want to get out early on.
Hi, Dan, 20-year-old straight female from the Northeast. I'm calling you, though, to get your advice on handling a relationship of a close friend of mine. Now, I already know how that sounds, and I can already hear you saying to butt the fuck out. But just hear me out. She's also 20 years old, but she's dating a 64-year-old man. It's not so much the age difference that makes me a bit uneasy as the other factors that could lead this to be a potentially unhealthy relationship. So she currently lives on a farm in exchange for room and board, and he's actually the owner of the farm. That immediately raised a red flag for me, seeing as he's her sole source of livelihood at the moment. But additionally, his wife just passed away about 4 months ago, and he started hitting on my friend's mom, only to turn to my friend once he realized she wasn't interested. Now, dating older men isn't particularly new for her. She's dated 30 and 40-year-olds before, but she's also struggled severely with mental illness, including depression. And without going into too much detail, those relationships have been incredibly unhealthy, with issues arising primarily around the fact that these men were at very different places in their lives, and because of that, had very different expectations. When I lightly alluded to a few of my reservations about the relationship to her, she wasn't upset, but she told me she was surprised because everyone else around her, including her friends and her parents, who are this man's age, mind you, are fine with it, saying, we just want you to be happy. Now, of course, I just want her to be happy as well, but I've seen this happen with her before to absolutely devastating consequences. Should I try to talk to her more? If so, how? Or am I just crazy for being this concerned and shocked that I'm the only one that seems to be?
It's possible that your friend's past unhappy, tumultuous relationships with older men, men who were 30 or 40 years old, exists on a separate and parallel track to your friend's problems with mental illness, with depression, and that the relationships with older men didn't induce the depression or the mental illnesses and weren't a reflection of it. And it's also possible that your friend had past unhappy relationships with older men, and that this relationship with this particular older man is a better relationship with an older man. Yes, it's very squicky. Yes, the power differential, particularly with him providing her with room and board and him being her sole means of income and him hitting first on her mom before turning to your friend, all of that is very squicky. I recognize the squickiness inherent in all of that. But the issues you want to drill down on with your friend aren't older men, depression, mental illness, but you need to pull them apart. Are you getting help with your mental illness and your depression? Are you in a good place now? Is this guy – you're dating this guy now. Is he a better guy than these other guys were? You know, totally possible that there are people out there listening right now who are friends, who are your friend's age, who dated more age-appropriate – I know that's a loaded, prejudicial term, but more age-appropriate partners that they had terrible experiences with, that dated people who were their same ages, that and the relationships were awful and contributed in some way to their depression or their mental illnesses or weren't helpful when it came to their depression or mental illnesses. And then you couldn't just blame the age difference. You'd have to look at the particulars of those people. And I think it's kind of, if I may use a college campus word, kind of a little ageist to blame ages here when maybe your friend has a preference for older folks. There are gerontophiles out there. There are people who prefer to be with older partners. And this particular older guy, as squicky as some of the other details might be, is a better guy for him than those other older guys who are younger older guys were. So you might want to touch base with her mom, who passed on this guy, and some of her other friends who've taken a glance at this guy maybe and decide collectively whether there needs to be an intervention for your friend who, it needs to be said, is an adult and can make her own choices, including really bad choices. Sometimes when friends make really bad choices, like let's say this is just a complete shit show but your friend doesn't see it, there's really nothing you can do except say to that person, when you realize – if you ever realize you want out – not when – if you ever realize that this is a bad situation and you want out, I'm there for you. Reach out to me. I will do what I can. I will send you a bus ticket, a train ticket, a plane ticket. I will help you extricate yourself from what may seem an impossible situation to extricate yourself from because of the financial dependence on top of the relationship thing. Just know that if you ever want to get out, if it's bad – and I'm not saying it's bad, but you know, from the outside it looks a little squeaky. If it's bad and you need out, I'm here to help you. And sometimes that's the best you can do. And sometimes planting that seed isn't just the best you can do. It is really helpful actually, because it puts it in your friend's head that they have an escape hatch, that they have a ripcord that they can pull, that they have friends out there that will come through for them, and it may accelerate the pulling of that fucking ripcord if indeed it's as bad a situation as you believe it to be.
I'm calling in regards to episode 553, where the dude is too quiet when getting a blowjob. I've also had the same problem. So my new girlfriend and I actually play a game called At Your Service, where the person getting the blowjob or the oral sex has to instruct the other person step by step on what they like and what they want done next. And we actually play the game based on a lost bet. So if we're fooling around during the day and make a bet, then the loser would be at the service of the winner of the bet. And it's really improved our communication skills, and it also improves telling the other person what you like. And we found that it's been very helpful in me being more vocal and more informative when I'm getting a blowjob.
Hi, guys. I'm calling in response to episode 553 to the guy whose dick gets a little shy around the woman he cares for. The advice is great. I would just like to add that should this relationship go further, and I hope it does, to remember this and to never take her for granted. When you guys are having awesome, amazing sex all in each and every way possible that you guys enjoy, remember when you were shy and cared for her so much that you couldn't get it up, and never take her for granted.
Hey, Dan, this call is in regards to the caller in episode 553 who couldn't get it up with the girl he really liked. As someone that has experienced that exact same thing on multiple occasions, I found a couple remedies for it. One being establishing kind of sex talk, establishing like sexting back and forth and kind of starting to see her in that light and see her in her sexuality. That kind of branches it out. When you're really, really infatuated with someone, I find it's kind of hard to really bridge that connection of seeing them down and dirty and having fun with you between the on the pedestal and how beautiful and lovely they are. But when you kind of sex with them, it, from my experience at least, it kind of brought that to that and then kind of visualized that for me and instantly worked. That and weed. Weed helps a ton. Smoke a little weed, takes the tension off, everything feels awesome. That's a cool 1-2 punch. It's worked for me. Complete fail safe. Works every time.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you would like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. Hey, Chicago, I will be in town on June 15th for a live taping of the Savage Lovecast with a very special guest, comedian Kristen Toomey. Get your questions answered by me live in person. Savage Love Live is going down at the Music Box Theater at 8 p.m. More info and tickets at humpfilmfest.com, where you will also find info about Hump Film Fest currently touring the country. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Read my column, Savage Love, every week in the East Bay Express and other newspapers all across the country. The Savage Love Cast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with our installment, Savage Love Cast, and we will see you in Chicago on June 15th.